How does healing work? This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. How does healing work? We all feel that we know how healing works. We feel that thoughts are things, and that we put thoughts in motion to bring about wholeness in our life. I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect. Or we use medicines to bring about our wholeness, and we listen to the doctor, and we listen to the pharmacist, and we listen to all of the promotions that greet us in the mail every day. I lost 35 pounds in 5 days and kept it off. But fantastic, and why not? Why not? But how does healing really work? Well, when you are alive, you have conditions in your body which are happy and unhappy. You have happy conditions of being satisfied, and you have unhappy conditions of being unsatisfied. You're hungry, you're thirsty, you're tired, you want to relax, or you're happy, you feel good. You just don't even know your body is there. You don't even feel it. You don't even think about it. You just enjoy it. Well, now, these two states of attitude are states of attitude. They have nothing to do with pills. They have nothing to do with medicine. They have nothing to do with thoughts. They're just attitudes. Well, you say attitudes are thoughts. No, attitudes are thinking about. It's not what is thought, but it's thinking about. Now, are you going to think about being healthy? Well, that's an attitude, and that means you haven't got it. Or are you going to think, I am healthy? Now, that's not an attitude. That's a statement of fact. That's a statement of reality. Now, everyone who is suffering from some kind of an illness or some kind of an unhealthy attitude or unhealthy condition in their life has basically one thing the matter with them. And you say, one thing? My goodness sake, let's profit on it. let's sell the cures for that one thing. Well, now, the one thing is this thing. They are living in the past. They are living in the past with the problems of the past and the problems of the things that they have in their mind. And they're making those things that they have in their mind be something that is very unhappy and very discontenting to them. They have an attitude that they're thinking things. It's holding on to things in the past, and we don't realize we're holding on to it. We don't really realize it. That we are using that as a crutch. And we're using that as something that's keeping us from being perfect.
Oh, well, who can be perfect?
Well, everyone can be perfect if you let go of the imperfection. Now, what would be an imperfect thought? An imperfect thought would be one that says somebody else is not nice. Yeah? Now, how many times have you thought that somebody else is not nice? Well, we don't need an answer for that, but we know it's a lot of times, not just once. Now comes the buzzard. How many times have you thought somebody was not being nice to you, and you didn't like them because of that? And how many people are there? 1, 2, 3, 4, and on. How many people? Now, if all these people can own you with their little piece of your unhappiness about them, think what you're doing to yourself.
Yeah.
What you're doing to yourself is you're holding on to the past, and you're letting the past be alive today in a negative way. Oh, you can have happy thoughts about the past, we all do, mm-hmm. But do you have unhappy thoughts about the past? Do you remember the time that your sister was mean to you? Do you remember the time that your brother was unkind? Do you remember the time that somebody, one of your best friends, stole your boyfriend or your girlfriend, you know. And you thought, how could they do that? How could they do that? You know, I hate them, I hate them, I hate them. And really, that's okay to say, how could they do that? And then make yourself a better person because of it. But if you say, I hate them, I hate them, I hate them, then you're not doing anything about it except building up a storage closet of unhappiness. Now, when I deal with people who are in the hospital, who are dying, or who have cancer, who have anything at all, I say to them, are you willing to live in the now? And they, oh, yes, 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 yes. Are you willing to let go of the past entirely? Oh, yes, 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 yes. Okay, open your wallet. Show me what you got in your wallet. I'm not interested in the money, but that's nice too. But show me what you got in your wallet. Oh, here's a picture of your sister's baby. Here's a picture of you when you were a baby. Here's a picture of your mother and you when you were having such a happy time when you were 10. And here's this and here's that. And you're a 40-year-old person, you know. And so you got all these pictures in your wallet. And those pictures are as though they're engraved in your heart. You know just which pocket in your wallet those pictures are, and you know just what they mean, and you can tell the age. You can say, I was 10, I was 12, I was 18. You know, this is when I looked the handsomest in my life, when I was 23, you know. And then after that, I went downhill. Or whatever you want to say. But you see, we're living in the past. We're letting the past, we're letting the conditions of the past, our unhappiness with people, circumstances, places, and things. We're living in the past by having pictures of the past, which remind us of things that happened. Oh, that might have been a nice birthday party that you were at, was your 10th birthday, and your mom and you are in the picture. But after the birthday party, what happened? The house burned down. And do you ever forget that? The house burned down with my birthday. All my presents. All my presents. I never got to get my presents. They're all burned up. You know? So your 10th birthday, even though you're before the fire with your mommy and standing there and looking so happy, that's instant unhappiness. Now, how do you let go of such an instant unhappiness that's in your brain that says, you know, your house burned down, all your presents burned up. How do you let that go? Well, you just say, hey, you know what my mom told me? She says, now, don't you think a thing about it. Not one person was injured in the fire. Not one of us had any problem. Oh, we had to go to a hotel that night and sleep, you know. And we had to stay over the hotel. We didn't have any clothes. We didn't have nothing. Because we were at the movie. We were coming home. There the house was whoosh, up in smoke and flame and gone. And the firemen were having a ball, squirting water everywhere. And there was nothing left, just the charred remains of the house. And, hey, wasn't that wonderful that we didn't have to see it start and that we didn't have to rush in, try to grab things and bring it out? And, you know, you never did like Aunt Millie's baseball caps that she gave you, and it burned up in the fire. And we never did like Grandma's white elephants that she gave us, you know. And she said, now, keep these in remembrance of me. And now they're gone, and we don't have to get rid of them. They're just gone. We let them go. Now let's forget it. And let's say, all right, let's start looking for a new house. Because the insurance company will pay for our old house. The fire will pay, you know. And the insurance company will pay for our clothes, so we can have some nice clothes. Not crazy, but like, you know, but nice stuff. And so we start again. Now, do we want to have big photograph albums that's going to burn up and then we're going to be unhappy they're gone? No. We'll just enjoy the pictures and then pass them away or give them away or throw them away. We'll live in the now. We'll do everything in the now. Now, as I visit with people in the hospital, and as I visit with people who are dying, and people who got all sorts of neat experiences that they're facing, I say to them, one thing works for sure. You say, all is in divine order now. All is in divine. You don't know what divine order is. You don't know what's out of order. Because you think that everything is okay. You're living at these past thoughts, and you don't think that they're bad. You know, your father would say to you, now don't you ever forget that, you know, that you've been naughty and that you I'm letting you go this time, but don't you ever do that again. You know, and so you try to remember not to do it again, and of course that's not easy to do. So let go of the past. Live in the now. And when you live in the now, then all of those things that have been little thorns in your side, that have been little unhappinesses in your side, are gone. Now, when my brother died, I thought, well, he'd have a nice tree in remembrance of him, you know. I thought it was just kind of nice. Someone had mentioned it at some point. So we got a nice tree, and we put it right in front of my bed, right outside my window, so every time I looked out there, there it was, and there's Dead Ray's tree, you know. And I wasn't thinking of him as being alive, as I always thought of him, but now I think of him as being dead. Here's that dead brother of mine, you know, hanging around outside my window, you know, looking in my bedroom window, looking over me every moment of my life. And I got rid of the tree. I got rid of the tree. I didn't know what to do with it, so I just put it in the trash. And Ray, do something else, you know. And from that moment on, I no longer thought about him. I no longer thought about him good, bad, or indifferent. And then I suggested to the campus family here that we have a unconditional love grove, a grove of trees in memory, you might say, of all of our friends and relatives and people close to us who died, and put up a tree for them. And what did we come up with? 22 trees without, we just started counting, you know, 22 trees. And then we looked at those trees in our mind. We thought, well, what kind of trees? We don't want all the same trees, and we don't want them different trees. We want the trees that do nice things. And then we thought to ourselves, oh, who's going to go up there? Who cares about those trees? We'd have to put in a watering system for it. We'd have to buy the trees too, and buy them in fairly healthy state. And each tree would be about $100, you know. And so there's $2,200 worth of trees. And that's a goodly number of trees, you know. And that's only for the trees. That's not for the watering system, which would be another 2,000. And then that's not counting the water that would be used for those trees over just 1 year. And that would be another $1,000, maybe two. So there you go, 2, 4, 6, maybe $8,000 to remember someone who said, I don't care about this life anymore. I'm going on to my next dimension. Ho-de-ho-de-ho. And they go, and they don't really give a darn. They don't even tell us that they're leaving. They just look sad, and then, poof, they're gone. And so we say, well, you know, okay. I didn't know you weren't happy here, but bye-bye, you know, have a nice whatever you're doing now. And you see, what things like that are, we're trying to bring them back. To bring back their memories. When people build monuments to things, they build a monument to the people who died in a particular war. Well, now, here's this beautiful monument in the middle of New York City with the names of all the people who died in a given war. And I think that's hateful. That's hateful beyond words, because what about all the other people who died in the wars? What about all the Civil War? Who knows all the names? The North and the South. They all had to be given equal time. And then the World War I and World War II and the Korean War and the this and the that. And just in the military alone, every person who dies in the military, even if they die of old age, is dying on behalf of their country. They're serving their country to the very end. Now, isn't it right? Is it proper for us not to recognize them, to recognize some and not the others? That's tough. That's tough. And when you go giving thank you for people who have done nice things, you better be careful, because you're going to forget somebody. And you're going to say, oh my God, I forgot Aunt Tilly. And Aunt Tilly is the one who gave me the most, you know. But she always gives me the most, and you don't think about it, and it's just natural that she's giving to me. And so you forget to say thank you. And they say, here I thank everybody else. I send them all a nice note of thanks, and I forget Aunt Tilly. Now, you see, in our hearts, we have this unworthiness because we forget to thank somebody, or we forget to hate somebody. And whenever the thought comes up to hate them, oh boy, red fire everywhere, you know, black furnace, everything, terrible. And then our body just begins to shrivel. And we wonder why we get these illnesses, why we get these unhappinesses. Now, I'm not going to say that cancer is caused by this or that's caused by that. I'm going to say that when you have cancer, if you can forgive your past, whatever it may be, you don't know what it is, just forgive your past and live in the now, that the cancer will cease to be. Because the cancer exists on what? On the memory of unhappinesses. Cancer is just the cells gone awry. That's what science has told us from the beginning of the time they knew cancer was cancer. It is where the cells in the body don't get the message of what they're supposed to be doing, and they're off doing, they're just recreating themselves until they're a big mass of cancerous balls. And it's a shame, but it's the way it is. Now, how do we clean that up? We say, I forgive the past.
I forgive
the past. Shut up. I'm going to change it. I forgive the past. I forgive all those terrible people in my life. I forgive all those terrible people who've been thoughtless of me and inconsiderate of me and who've stolen from me and who borrowed from me and didn't pay me back and stuff like that. I have one woman, and I never did get through to her. And she loves her son more than life itself. And her son needed a car for his work. And so she gave him money for the car, and with the specific instructions to pay it back every month. Well, from month one, the son didn't pay it back. And after 2 years of this, the mother was beside herself. And she was just going downhill in a toboggan. And so I said to her, why are you doing this to yourself? Do you love your son? Oh, yes. Do you need the money? Is money going to make or break your life? No. Well, why don't you just give it to him and say, son, I should have given this to you in the beginning because I wanted you to have that car. I wanted you to be able to do this. Now, you just, if you ever think of paying me, do something nice for somebody else. And I don't even have to know about it. But I'll just think of you doing something nice for somebody else. Now, you just forget. The debt is paid. It's clear and free. Now, if she could have done that, she'd be alive today. But she didn't do that. And so her mother, who was older than she, I mean, obviously, her mother, who was in her 90s or, you know, and going, moving, and she was only in her 60s or something like that, and she started to die because she was so unhappy that her son let her down. But her son didn't let her down. She let her down. She should not have given money to anybody unless she wanted to give it to them and say, here, have a ball, you know, because she didn't need it, but she worried about it. And so she died. She killed herself. And if she didn't kill herself, she's in an insane asylum because we haven't heard hiding her hair from her. And we've searched everywhere. But isn't it interesting? These are things we do to ourselves. And when I talk to people who have illnesses and they say, I can't forgive them, they've been too mean to me. And I say, well, it's killing you. Their meanness is going to take another stride and put you on the other side. If that's what you want, you just keep on and you'll find you'll collide into something you really don't want to abide in. Now, it's time that you let it go. And sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. And sometimes they just want to go. And this is the way life is. This is the way life is. Now, what is it that is really healing energy? Healing energy is when you let go. Now, you take a deep breath. You let it all out. And you just feel great. You take deep breaths you hyperventilate, you know, you take deep breaths, let it out, deep breaths, let it out, deep breaths, let it out. And as you do this, pretty soon you say, and then you've forgotten all about your problem. You've forgotten all about your illness. You forgot all about your terribleness. You really did. I have a pair of shoes that was tight for me. They were big, but they were just tight. And so I wore them on the meditation path as I walk every day. And as I wore them, oh, they were pinching me something terrible. And so I saw Rex chasing something. And I started looking at what Rex was chasing. And I started walking faster. And I started going over to see what he was chasing and going around to see what he was chasing. And by the time I saw what he was chasing, I was amazed. It was a chicken. And he picked up the chicken. And I again said, Rex, put this chicken down. He said, no, I'll carry it. You know. And so he carried it about a mile and a half, maybe 2 miles, all the way from where he got it back to the monastery. And then he gave it up at the monastery to the girls so that they could check it over. And the thing is, all that time, I forgot about shoes. I hadn't even thought about my shoes pinching. I hadn't even thought about them. And then after it was done, and after the girls came and took over, I thought about my shoes. And isn't that silly?
It's true.
We don't have to go through those painful experiences, even as definite and obvious and knowing that it was my shoes, they were pinching my feet, as I did. Now, subsequently, I told my feet, hey, you fit perfectly in these shoes. You know, if you feel a little fat, thin out. You know, relax. And my shoes just feel great. And really, you do too. We are in charge of our body. We are in charge of our mind. We are in charge of our thought. We are in charge of our health. And if we want to let go of the past, I guarantee you, you'll live in a healthy body in the here and now. I love you eternally.
I love you.
I love you.